Okay, Boker Tov. We are in the middle of the sugya of blowing the shofar. We're now at the point of blowing the shofar into the Bor Vedut. And now with the last clause, so look back at the Mishnah, and I included the line on top. The end of that Mishnah Zion, if you look back on Daf Chav Zion Amud Bet, says, V'chein Mishayav over Achor Bet HaKneset, this is picking up on the hearing the shofar in the pit. So similarly, if somebody was walking about at back of the Beit HaKnesset or their house was attached, Shema kol shofar kol megillah, and they heard the shofar, they heard megillah, and kivem ibo yatzavim lav lo yatza. Right. So as long as you intended, what kind of intent? We'll see. Al vish zeh shema vzeh shema zeh kivem ibo vzeh lo kivem ibo. And the Gemara and the Mishnah is immediately drawing our attention to an anomaly that even though two people did the same exact action, one is Yotzei, one is not Yotzei, mainly because because it was driven by intent. Now, the Gemara, in the middle of where we are, at Shalchu Le'elavu at Shmuel, at the end of Chavchet Amud Aleph, is going to sort of backdoor our way into this particular discussion. Shalchu Le'elavu at Shmuel, right, which means this goes back now to the generation of Rebbe. So they sent the message as follows. Fa'ov yachal matzah yatsa. If they forced him, who's they? We know who the him is. The him is a Jewish man. But they forced him to eat matzah yatsa. That was the statement. So the analysis is as follows. Fa'umman, who forced him? Now, the word lichpot, we always assume is human coercion. But in the Chazal's world, it could mean something else. Ilan makfa'o shade, which literally means a demon force, which means the guy has some sort of a mental problem, emotional problem, and he suddenly got OCD on matzah. Right? And then you're going to say, yatza, v'hatanya, itim cholim, itim shoteh. We have a brayta that says that if a person is sometimes with it and sometimes out of it, meaning he's suffering from some form of bipolar a condition where sometimes he's lucid and sometimes he's lulu. This, by the way, becomes very important in the seventh parak of Gittin, which discusses a person who is going through a particularly difficult chemical period and gives his wife a get. And the question is, what was his status when he ordered the get to be written? So, in our context, we say that when a person is nuts, they are not nuts in the eccentric sense, but in the real clinical sense, then they are patur mikol mitzvot, which means that if at the time the guy says, I'm eating matzah, you know, voices are talking to me, matzah, and he eats matzah, he's patur because he's not yotzei because at the time he's patur. And when he gets over it, or he finally takes his medication or whatever, at that point, and he returns back to this world, he's still chayiv because he did not eat matzah. He had some form of him eating matzah. So what could it mean? What could the phrase mean, fa'o? Amarashi shikfa'u parsim. Some goyim forced to eat matzah. Now, it's a really bizarre mitzvah, and I can't believe that it ever really happened, but what they're talking in a theoretical sense, when a person was physically forced, somebody shoved matzah down his throat, which means, in matter of fact, he ate matzah. But in matter of principle, he didn't. He didn't want to be in the kind of mitzvah. And he had no interest in eating matzah. He just had matzah shoved down his throat. So he says, yatsa. Now, Amar Rava, so Rava three generations later says, Zotomeo tatokeo lashir yatsa. Rava applies this to shofar, which is not an automatic application. And we will see why it may be a bumpy road from matzah to shofar. Certainly a dotted road. Tatokeo lashir yatsa. What's his application? If you blow the shofar in order to perform musically, then yatsa the mitzvah. What's his point? Because he's trying to say mitzvah in tzichot kavana. Right? You don't need to intend to do a mitzvah. If you did the action, you yotzei. But it's not a slam dunk application. Just because you shoved matzah in your mouth to yotzei, or somebody else held you down and shoved matzah in your mouth to yotzei, we assume, by the way, that you're awake and aware that it's Pesach. But you don't want to eat matzah. You want to eat matzah later. You don't want to eat matzah. You're rebelling and not eating matzah. And some goyim who are very concerned with your religious behavior. Not really, actually. They're not doing it on the same mitzvah. Some goyim, you know, would say, we're going to make you eat, you thin Jew. We're going to fatten you up. And the only thing they find around the house is the crackers. They shove them in your mouth, the yotzei. So Rava says, good. So if you take out a shofar and you start tootly-tootly on it, happens to be Rosh Hashanah, you'll say. So pshita, hainu hach, why is it even a question? Clearly it's the same point. You have the following argument. When it comes to matzah, the Torah said, tochlu, you have to eat. And here the guy ate. What do I care what happened beforehand? Aval hacha zichron truaktiv. But here, when it comes to shofar, there's clearly an attitudinal element component to it, which is that the Torah calls the day a day of remembrance. And therefore, the trua maybe has to be associated with a particular intent. And this guy's just playing around. Kamash Malan. That's why Rava says, you know what? The rule about matzah can be applied to shofar, because when it comes to shofar, all the Torah said was, hear the shofar. Just like all the Torah said was, eat matzah. Now, Alma Kasava Rava Mitzvot Ein Tzichot Kavana. And this is really going to launch us into the whole thing. And you see why it's here, because the end of the Mishnah said that as long as you're mechaveng something, we don't know what, as long as you have some intent, when you're in the house behind the shul, you're walking past the shul, you're yotze. All right, which by the way means we also have to discuss what did the guy in shul have in mind when he's blowing the shofar, as far as you are concerned. It's another piece of the puzzle. Now, 8 today, we're going to challenge this. Hayah kore batorah, the first mishnah in the second parak of Brachot, talks about a case where a person is reading Sefer Dvarim. Well, right, for our purposes. It's the week of Parsha Vatchanan, he's a Baal Kriya, and he's reviewing the Parsha. And so he says, and it happens to be at 6:30 in the morning, and he says, Shema Yisrael, Adonai, Eloheinu, Adonai, Echad, V'yahavta, etc. And he lays it. Okay, that's what we think is happening. V'giyah zman ha-mikra. And it happens to be 6:30 or 7 o'clock, whatever the zman of Kriyat Shema is. In kivein lebo yatzav, mav lo yatzah. So then it depends. Meaning that it's not automatic that he's yotze the mitzvah. There's a component of Kavanah involved. And we assume that means that you have to sit there and say, now I'm going to read L'shem Mitzvah Kriyat Shema, and not just L'shem, my job is about Kriya. My love, Kivem Libo Yatzeit, doesn't that mean that he intended what I just said? Lo, Likrot. What it means is he intended to read. Likrot, Vakakari, what do you mean? You said he's reading. What does he have to intend to do? He's reading. The answer is the Korei L'Hagia. We're not talking about a Baal Kriya. We're talking about a Sofer, who is going over a Sefer Torah, and he's checking the text, or going over a mezuzah or a tefillin, and he's checking the text, and he's saying the words out loud, but he's not intending to read. He just happens to be somebody who, you know, in order to make sure he's of that ilk, where everything he reads, his lips move. And so he's saying the words, but he's not really intending a reading. So we say, you know what, it could mean, we don't know that it does mean, but it could mean that kivein libo doesn't have anything to do with the mitzvah. Kivei libo means he intended to do an act of reading. And therefore he's yotze, which would still defend the position that mitzvot in tzichot kavanah. So a person sits there, and it's, in my case, it's the week of Etchanan, and he's a Baal Kriya, and he's reviewing the Kriya, and he got up at 5:30 in the morning, and he reviewed the Kriya, and then something happened. He got very busy in the morning. It was Osik Mitzvah, something like that. And he suddenly turns around 9 o'clock, and he's finished with watching a mate or going to a funeral, whatever thing he was, apart from Kriyat Shema. We're going to make a nice scene here. All right? A good guy. A good guy gets up at 5:30 in the morning. It's the week of Etchanan. He goes through it, and he's about to go to shul. He gets a call, some big need. He goes and runs to help with the need, and that need, which is Osik Mitzvah, part of a mitzvah, dissipates 10 minutes before Zman Kriyat Shema. Ooh, I got to get home and say Zman Kriyat Shema. I said, no, you don't. Because in the morning, when you were practicing your laning, you were laning. You were doing a kriya. That's good enough. And maybe that's good enough. And maybe you don't need kavanah for the mitzvah. So let's keep hammering away at Rava. Toshma, our Mishnah. Hayah over achre b'ra knesset, or sheyah b'to samuch b'ra knesset, v'shama kol shofar kol megillah, in kivein libo yatzah, v'im lav lo yatzah. Same thing. That you're only yotze in kivein libo. What is kivein libo? My love in Kivein Libo Latzeit, doesn't it mean that you said, oh, I'm doing this L'shem, the mitzvah of shofar? Lo, Lishmoa. Kivein Libo means you attended to hear. Attended, meaning you gave attention to hear. Lishmoa Hashema, same problem we just had. What do you mean? It said you heard. Well, that's it's in hearing and listening. Sovr Chamor Ba'al Mahu. No, the answer is you could hear the sound and not know what it is. You hear a sound of a shofar, you could say it's some animal making sounds. So the kivein libo here means that you are aware it's a shofar, and you would say, I want you to listen to the shofar. I'm paying attention to the shofar. But it doesn't mean that I'm doing it with Shem Mitzvah. Now, by the way, this does not mean mitzvot ein tzrichot kavanah. This means we're defending the possibility that mitzvot ein tzrichot kavanah in light of our Mishnah. Eitave, challenge number three. Nitkaven shomea v'lo nitkaven mashmiya. It's an expansion on our Mishnah. Mashmiya v'lo nitkaven shomea lo yatsa. If the guy blows, mashmiya is the guy blowing the shofar. So if the guy healing the shofar or the guy blowing the shofar does not have kavanah, the guy is not yotze. Achi kaven shomea mashmiya. So both of them have intent. Now, we just said that nitkaven means I intend to hear a shofar as opposed to thinking that it's its own animal, which, by the way, would only happen if you're in back of the shul. You don't know what's happening inside. Can't happen if you're in the shul and you see the guy. But you could certainly mistake the sound for an animal sound. That's what it sounds like. And if you're not in the physical building where it's happening, the physical room where it's happening, you could certainly make that mistake. Now, I understand the clause. It says the guy making the sound was mitkaven, but not the guy hearing it. Because he could be he's the guy listening, and he could be elsewhere, and he could not know what sound it is. He could think it's a donkey. And kaven shomea and kaven mashmiya, hechem ishkachava. But according to you, that you say kavana means just intent to hear a shofar, forget about the mitzvah component, how could you ever have a situation where the guy blowing the shofar doesn't have kavana that you say is not yotze? He has to have kavana. So lava tokeh alashir, aren't we talking about a case where the guy's blowing the shofar, he knows the shofar, obviously, and he's blowing it for purposes of entertainment, which proves to you that mitzvot srichot kavana. So, no, maybe the guy's just messing around with the instrument. He's blowing into it to see if the air hole is clean. Now, we're gonna make the following distinction, and it's a very reasonable distinction. First of all, you could, as if you're hearing the sound and you're not seeing the instrument, you could have no idea what it is. And therefore, nitkaven means I'm intending to hear that shofar that's in there. That's level number one, a very base level, which means that when you do a mitzvah, all you need to do is attend to your action. You have to pay attention to your action. And your action has to be the correct action, which is eating matzah, even if there's stuffing it down your throat, hearing a shofar, even if you aren't interested in it, you're yotze. That's position one. On the level of the fellow who's blowing the shofar, he has to really intend a blast of the shofar. He can't say, let's see if this air hole works. Or he can't say, let's see how many machine gun blasts I can make, and go ta 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 ta, and by accident, watch this, and by accident, one of the sounds goes very, very long. He wants to go ta 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 ta, clean it out, or whatever reason. In other words, he's not intending a tkia at all. Then we say, aha, that's the kavanah that he has to have. He has to have kavanah for a tkia, not just a mistaken tkia, but not l'shei mitzvah. No. I mean, we might know if we spent enough time on it, but no. Toshma, we're quoting our Mishnah. That may be the reason. Because when the discussion is taking place around our Mishnah. So it could be that the reason that Toshma comes before the quote from our Mishnah is because saying, ah, that's what we're discussing.
Yeah,
right? Correct. But it could be in this context. Okay, I don't know methodologically why it is. Amar le'Abaye. So Abaye then turns around to Rava and says, you're going to tell me mitzvot ein tzrichot kavanah? That's very nice, except the implications of it are more far-reaching than you have thought of. Ela me'ata yashen mashminim ha-sukkah yukeh. According to that, anybody who sits in the sukkah on the eighth day, yashen means sleep, but sit in the sukkah, eat in the sukkah on the eighth day, should get makot for bal tosif. Because after all, even though you're sitting there just because it's nice outside, by the way, what's our excuse for sitting in the sukkah on the eighth day? Well, we have to have an excuse. The answer is it's nice outside. It's nice outside. We're in our winter coats and it's freezing and it's nice outside in the east, right? Well, that's the only excuse. If we didn't have that, we could not sit in the sukkah because Baal Kosif would trump the issue of Sveika Dioma. However, since we're not doing it in order to make an eighth day into the mitzvah, because the mitzvah is 7 days, but we're doing it, that's why we don't check lulav, but we do sit in the sukkah. Part of the reason is because lulav the rest of the 7 days is the rabbanon. But part of the reason is because picking up the lulav is clearly an act that you're intending a mitzvah. So okay, you can say the guy sitting out there is nice outside. Right? Abaye says, if that's the case, you still get makot, because you didn't need kavanah. Meaning, just like you're fulfilled the mitzvah below kavana, you violate basal seif below kavana. So how does Rava answer that? Amar lo, shani omer mitzvot eino over alehen elo bizmanan. He says basal seif only happens within the time duration. In other words, the person picks up a lulav today, they're not violating basal seif. Today is Shreveta. And therefore, where do I draw the line? I draw the line exactly at the time duration. So a person picks up five minim on Sukkot, he violates Baal Tosif. A person picks up a lulav on the eighth day or the ninth day, there's no Baal Tosif. Baal Tosif is only within the time duration, which means Baal Tosif is never about time. It's not about extending a mitzvah time-wise beyond its parameters. It's about expanding a mitzvah chetzah-wise beyond its parameters. Five strings for your tzitzit. Five species for the lulav, five parshiot and tefillin, but not wearing tefillin at night, if you hold night as midoraisa, not zman tefillin, as machloket. Right? It's not about blasting the shofar on the third day of Tishrei. That's not the zman, there's no baal tosi. Now, let's see if that holds up. Meitiv Rav Shaman Bar Abba. Minayim lekoin sholel aduchan. There's a classic Baal Tosif piece. A Kohen should not say, you know what, the Torah gave me permission to go up and bless Am Yisrael, I'm going to add my own bracha. Right? Those are beautiful brachot. Meaning, I'm not even going to make one up. We're not talking about that. I'm going to use a bracha in the Torah. And I'll add my own bracha. Tamud lamar lo tosifu al hadavar. And by the way, the diuk there is al hadavar, meaning dibur. Even words, which the Torah commanded us to say, you cannot add on to it. Now, by the way, think about that. When is he going to do this? When is the Kohen going to add this pasuk? We assume after he said v'yaseh mecha shalom, which means he's already finished the mitzvah, which means baal tosif applies after the zman. Why not?
Well, it's not an external
smile. Beautiful. Beautiful, Steve. You hit it. Rav Shaman Bar Abba says, once the guy's already said the three brachot, the zman is over, the mitzvah is over, and therefore why is there Baal Tosif according to you, Rava? Obviously, Baal Tosif extends beyond the zman. Uktani davar. So they start by answering a dance answer, which is achamayaskinan b'dolosiyem. We're talking about between the words. Now I'm going to add something else. He's still doing his mind. Vatanya Siyem, we have a Brita which says the same thing, but says, once he's finished, he says, I want to add something. He can't because of Baal Tosif. So Siyem Brachachat, that means he finished one line. Vatanya Siyem Kol Birchotav. This is the, you know, push up against the wall. You try that, try that. You keep dancing, we're going to chop your legs off until we get you up against the wall and say, you got to deal with this straight on. So Shani Acha came on the Ilami Tramile Tzibur Acharina. Think about it. The guy finished Birchat Kohanim. But let's say that he's hanging around the shul. He's the shamish. Or he's waiting for it to meet somebody in an hour. Or he's got a chavrusah who's 5 minutes late. And another tzibur is there. And they're davening. Can he say Birchat Kohanim again? He certainly can. Hadar Varech Kulei Yomom Zimnehu. Therefore, the entire day is man Birchat Kohanim. Birchat Kohanim, like Steve said, the external zman of Birchat Kohanim is the day. He has his own personal zman, but his personal zman is not a zman for Baal Tosif. On the other hand, when it comes to Sukkot, the eighth day is already outside of the parameters objectively and externally. Good. Umanat Tamra, how do we know that this is really the way to read it? Umanat Tamra that a mitzvah that you can do a second time on the same day means that it's all still in the zman. In other words, to make this distinction, which by the way is logically very appealing, how do we have a textual support for it? Did not. The Mishnah, we already dealt with this Mishnah at the end of Erevin in the other sugya Baal Tosif. I really had a short, what did I call it? A four delb and a one delb. Remember, there are some korbanot where the matan damim is one drop on the side of the mizbeach, and it's on the southeast side, and there's others that are on all four sides. And generally, they're put on two corners, so they hit all four sides. So let's say that you got a bunch of dam mixed up. You're the kohen, you're going up there, and some dam got mixed up two Bechorot got mixed up. Bechor and Maisa Behema got mixed up. They both have one dot. Right? That's a no-brainer. So you take the blood, you put it on one time. Matan Arba, Matan Arba. You have two Chataot that got mixed up together. Chataot is a classic Matan Arba. So you put the blood on all four. That's easy. What's the hard problem? What's the problem? When a four and a four gets mixed up. A Matan Arba, Matan Achat. Rabbi Eliezer, Anu Matan Arba. Rabbi Eliezer says, put all four. All right, what have you done now? Haltosif. Because now the dam that's won, I mean, the only alternative here, by the way, is to say the whole thing's possible and you've got to start over, which we don't want to do. So, for lots of reasons. Expense and chul and mazal, we've got a lot of reasons not to, especially with the chatat. So Rabbi Eliezer says, put all four. All right, so you did baltosi. Rabbi Shua says, no, you won. All right, baltigra. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, arehu over all baltigra. You've done too little. Rabbi Shua, arehu over all baltosi. There's no solution to that one. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, lo nemar baltosif elok shu batzmo. So when is baltosif? Baltosif is when something's by itself, and then you extend it beyond its normal parameters. But here you've got a mixture, which means that the piece of this blood, the part of this blood, that it demands for, negates the baltosif on the rest. Baltosif is only when something's sitting by itself. So Rabbi Shua has a simple answer, which is, I'm Rabbi Shua, lo nemar baltigra, lo shu batzmo. Same thing. Lo tigra is also when the thing is by itself and you're putting too few matanot. But not when it's mixed. The odd, here we go. I'm Rabbi Shua, kshelo natata, when you do what I say, which is to put one avarta baltigra, maybe there's baltigra, velo asita masabi adecha, but you didn't do anything. You did baltigra by omission. Kshenatata avarta baltosif asita masabi adecha. In other words, we are in a devil's alternative. Anything we do, we're going to have a problem. But in my solution, at least, you don't actively violate, you passively violate, which is far better than actively violating.
Is that whole dialogue the Mishnah
there? Yeah, it's all the Mishnah. That's the Mishnah. Now, v'acha, kevan b'yayivle matana mibachor avrole zimnei. Hey, wait a second. Why does anybody say there's a problem about Tosif here? After all, the minute you put the one matana, the dam of the bechor is already finished its month. It's done. And now when you put it three other times, it's not baltosif, according to what you said, because you've already fulfilled the mitzvah. Correct? There should not be a problem. Tanya of Rabbi Yeshua baltosif, what did, and by the way, Rabbi Eliezer agreed to this. What did Yeshua say? When you put you have the bechor, and you put the extra three times on, it's baltosif. We could argue back, what in baltosif? After all, according to what you said, which is that the zman, once the zman is over, there is no baltosif, then the minute you put the one matanat, that should be the end of it. So, isn't it because if you were to end up having another bechor during the day, you would still put one matana on. So, therefore, the matanot for bechor are not from this blood, but rather all day is the zman for bechor. And therefore, we make the distinction between personal or subjective zman, or shall we say class-specific zman, to external objective zman, which is the eighth day for sukkah. The eighth day for sukkah is not baltosif because it's out of the objective zman, as opposed to birchat kohanim and the bechor, which you happen to finish the mitzvah. But the whole day is ra'ui for the mitzvah. So mimai, duma kasari Yeshua mitzvot over aleyana, filu shul bizmanan. Maybe not. Maybe Rav Yeshua says, unlike what we're positing, that you could violate baltosif even after the zman. So Ananachi come in, and this is our proof. This is what our problem was. We just quoted a Mishnah. Rasham Rabbah did not use that Mishnah. What did he use to try to jam against Rava? He used a Braita about Birchat Kohanim. Rasham Rabbah, my Talmud Shogun Anitim Motim Braita, why did he use the Braita instead of the Mishnah? It's always better to use a Mishnah. Lotim Matnitim, why didn't he use the Mishnah? Matnitim my Talmud Lomotim, why didn't he use the Mishnah? Kevan Di'ilamitram Milei Bucha Achrina Boim Azaminei. Because after all, in the Mishnah, you could even easily say, the whole day is a zman for matanot, and if you have another bechor, you're going to be giving more dam, right? Kule yom azimnehu. So, why is the bright any better? After all, you could do bechor kohanim all day also. It's the same problem with local time, if you will. Personal zman, as opposed to objective zman. If another minion gets the Berachat Kohanim, If you're you could still participate. Rav Shom Bar, you know why he picked the Braita, not the Mishnah? Hatam lo sagid lo yahid. In the case of the Mishnah, we're talking about dam. If you have more dam, you have to give it. You have to put it on the Mizbeach. Which means you could say the whole day is a day from Atan Damim. Hacha, Iboy Mavarech, Iboy Lo Mavarech. This, by the way, is a problem for Kohanim who are at a minion factory. Sometimes they think, oh, you know what? I'm on my way out and they got the Bracha Kohanim. I have to go in. And then I finally finish them and somebody else has, you know, and suddenly I spend the whole day there. No, you don't. Once you do Bracha Kohanim once, that's it. So therefore, the Zman for Bracha Kohanim, although it's personal, is more limited. Because I don't have an obligation to do it more than once a day. As opposed to, if I'm a Kohen and there's another Korban comes, I have to put it on. As many as come. So that's why he picked the Braita. But in any case, what do we see from here? We see that you can distinguish between subjective Zman and objective Zman. And we can still defend Rava as saying, when you are past the objective Zman, or the time parameter for the mitzvah, there is no Baal Tosif. So Rava still steps back from this because we see even with the Bechor that Rabbi Yeshua seems to say there is Baal Tosif. So you say, okay, good. Rava is not so comfortable with accepting this distinction and saying that, well, the subjective Zman, objective Zman, so he modifies it. He says, Rava Mar, Latzeit Bo Bai Kavanah. I stick by my original guns, which is that to be Yotzei Mitzvah, you don't need Kavanah. La'avor Bai Kavanah. But to violate Baal Tosif, you do need Kavanah. And by the way, that's pretty obvious why it should be. Because I'm putting on tefillin, it's pretty clear what I'm doing. I'm sending the mother away. I mean, that's another kind of a bizarre example. Sending the mother away and taking the trick, pretty clear what I'm doing. I'm saying Kriya Shma, it's pretty clear what I'm doing. But when I go out of my way to do it in the wrong time or the wrong way, I clearly have to have intent to do it. If I sit in the sukkah on the eighth day, I clearly have to say, I'm doing this Hashem mitzvah to be Baal Tosif. Otherwise, I'm just sunning myself. So his distinction is a very appealing distinction to say, to fulfill a mitzvah, I don't need Kavanah because the action speaks for itself. But to violate Baal Tosif, I do need Kavanah because I'm trying to create a new parameter to the mitzvah. There I clearly need Kavanah.
Well, maybe an example, because you can put the tefillin for nothing. No one puts the tefillin for nothing. If you put tefillin in Shabbat, even without any Kavanah.
Yeah, the problem is Shabbat is month. You don't violate Baal Tosif. There is no Baal Tosif.
If someone does something that no one do.
Right, like putting five parashiyot in your tefillin. So why are you putting five parashiyot in your tefillin? Clearly you're doing it in order to create some sort of new mitzvah. You're not doing it for just because, you know, my tefillin's a little light and I want to make it heavier. You're clearly trying to reformulate the mitzvah. So he says, that you need Kavanah. So I'm trying to do the mitzvah that way. And if I put on tefillin that have five parshiyot on them, so I'm clearly doing it. In order to make this a violation of Baal Tosif, I clearly have to do it and say, I'm intending. No, we're not done yet. Hold on. We'll wait till the end of the discussion. After all, in Rabbi Yeshua's case, he says you violate Baal Tosif by putting four on, and you don't need Kavanah. So watch this. Ela amar Rava, latzeit lo bai kavanah. That we're back to. La'avor bizmano lo bai kavanah. Okay, and here's the distinction. Shelo bizmano bai kavanah. And what's the appeal of that? That when I'm doing a mitzvah in a time that is outside of the time parameter of that mitzvah, in order for this action to be anything related to the mitzvah where I could say it's Baal Tosif, I have to be intending to do it as a mitzvah. Otherwise, what am I doing? It doesn't matter what the action is, whether it's tefillin or sitting in a sukkah. If I'm putting on tefillin on, let's say that tefillin is 6 days a week, midoraita. And let's say that, make it up, let's say Tuesday there's no tefillin, and it's Baal Tosif. So why am I so he says, putting on tefillin, so five parshiot on a Monday, you're right, you don't need Kavanah, because I'm doing it within the time parameters of the mitzvah. But putting on tefillin on Tuesday, which is itself, there's just no such thing. If I don't make it, say, I'm doing this L'shem Mitzvah, there's nothing to make it a Baal Tosif. I'm just doing some bizarre action.
So if you made Shabbos to Tuesday,
yeah.
Observing Shabbos on Monday with Kavanah,
what does observing mean? You don't do Malacha? You're just lazy.
You're prohibiting yourself from
You're just lazy. Or foolish.
Yeah.
It's meaningless, by the way. You can't, I mean, you haven't done anything. You've just been foolish. But Baal Tosif doesn't apply
you
to
make
just,
Kiddush.
What? Yeah. It's Baruch HaLatala. It's not paltosi. It's a bracha latzala. Yes, but not only that, but it can't just be something like a bracha. So he said the classic example is either changing the quantitative format of the mitzvah, like five parshiot and tefillin, or five minim in the, how do you call it, or perhaps changing the time parameter. And that is a very interesting Ramban. Take a look in Perek Dalet of Dvarim. The Ramban al Torah, important Perek Dalet, I think it's Pasuk Yod Gimel, about Tosi. I apologize. It's Perek Dalet Pasuk Bet, the very beginning of Vetchanan. There's a long Ramban there that discusses the parameters of the mitzvah of Baltosi. And then he talks about the issue of whether you're Avam ben Nevat, who set up a whole separate holiday in the eighth month, if that's Baltosi. He says there's two different kinds of Baltosi. One is where you take a pre-existent mitzvah and reformat it, five parshiot. Another one is when you make up a new holiday. It's totally make something up. He says that's why the rabbis were so bothered about Purim until they found a smachta in the Torah, make a new holiday. But it's not like that. Pashtas, the Gemara is not. When you just make something up, it's when you take a pre-existent mitzvah and you try to reformat its time or number parameter. Amar Rabbi Zeira l'shamei. So Rabbi Zeira told his servant, Ichvan v'takali. His servant was a Jewish guy who was a musical sort of fellow, and he said, "Blow the shofar, have intent and blow the shofar for me." Which means, by the way, he's ignoring the entire previous discussion and seeming to say, you have to have kavanah to be motzi me. Alma kasav rashmiya by kavanah. So clearly he told that the guy who was blowing the shofar has to have kavanah to be motzi the guy who's listening. Meitavei ayel v'erachay b'na kneset o'shay yabaito sabach b'na kneset shema kol shofar u'kol migila or mishnah. Given the boy yatsav n'avlo yatsah. Given the boy my hali, what does it help for me to be walking back of a shul and say, ooh, I'll be yotzei the mitzvah. After all, the guy inside doesn't know me. Heach lo ka mechaven adata didei. The other guy has no intent for me. So what does it help if I have intent? He's not intending to be motzi me. So hachav shleich tzibur askinan, of course, because the guy in shul is just shleich tzibur. The date akuli alma, he automatically has intent for everybody. It's very, very important. When you're blowing shofar and shul, when I'm blowing shofar and shul, if somebody walks in the back door, I don't know who they are. I don't see who's in the women's section. I don't see which one of the kids is hiding behind another, his father or something. It doesn't matter. Well, kid is not an issue, but I don't know who everybody is there. I certainly don't know them personally, but it could be, while I'm closing my eyes and blowing the shofar, somebody else walks in at the last minute. I don't know. It doesn't matter. I'm not being mechavein for Didi and for Wayne and for Avi. I'm mechavein for whoever's there. Therefore, if a guy walks in back of the shul and hears me, he's yotzei also, as long as he has kavanah. But here, Rabbi Zeira is talking to one guy. He's saying, you do have to have kavanah for me. Toshman, if kavein shomea v'lim kavein mashmiya, and kavein mashmiya v'lim kavein shomea, lo yatsa, and kavein shomea mashmiya. Good. Tani mashmiya, dumya de shomea. We compare the two. Mas shomea, shomea la'atzmo. Af mashmiya, mashmiya la'atzmo. So it's a parallel case, which means, when does the mashmiya have to have kavanah? He has to have kavanah when he's blowing for himself. Meaning, just like when I'm hearing it, I have to have kavanah to make sure I'm yotzei. The mashmiya is somebody who's blowing the shofar for himself. Uktani lo yatsa, and you see that it says he's not yotzei unless he has kavanah. So the answer is tanoihi. The tanya shomea shomea atzmo mashmiya mashmiya lefi darko, meaning he blows it in an old fashion when other people are hearing it. Rabbi Yossi medvar mamoim b'shliach tzibur. In other words, Rabbi Yossi says the shliach tzibur does not have to have kavanah to emotzi others. His very action is he's being mashmiya, and everybody else can latch on. But if it's an individual, that's exactly what Zera is picking up on. You're blowing for me, you have to have come out of the middle to me. The Shleich Tzibur gets up there. Now you can argue the following. The Shleich Tzibur, by dint of his stance, standing in front of everybody, that is already inherent Kavanah. He doesn't have to have in mind Adi Mechavein. By the way, a lot of the things that we say and do, and by the way, that we do, we talked about this year, around Tchiyot are way beyond what's necessary. I'm not talking about the 100 kolot and the repeating and all that. Talking about the kavanah issues, way beyond what's necessary, but it's good. In Rosh Hashanah, we want to be as careful as possible, but many of these things are not required. Now, Vayak Hashem Yorim Moshe, you wonder what the heck this Mishnah is doing here. They got it out of the London Pirkei record. Remember the song? L'chiyada Rosh Moshe Oso Milchama. Anyways, this drasha, these two drashot, seem to have nothing to do with anything except that they demonstrate that Kavanah is very significant, and that an action itself, and this, by the way, is a little bit of an anti-pagan polemic, where pagan thinking is that everything is mechanistic, and if you do the right action, it doesn't matter what your intent is or who you are, the right thing is going to follow. No, it has to do with Kavanah. And by the way, these are both drashot that amend texts or that comment on texts in the Torah that seem to indicate something that is paganistic, that mechanistic stuff works. So the first case is from the war with Amalek. I don't want to quote the second half of the pasuk, but it's important to see it. Whenever Moshe would lift his hands up, Am Yisrael would win. The simple shot in that is exactly that, that when Moshe would lift his hands up, so God was helping Bnei Yisrael. Whenever he lowered his hands, so God was helping Bnei Yisrael. And it had nothing to do with what Bnei Yisrael were doing or thinking. And that's why Aaron Achor held his hands up and let him sit on a rock, so he would be able to keep his hands up and help Bnei Yisrael win. The question is, do you think Moshe's hands win or lose the war? Well, the answer is yes. But the drasha is, Moshe's hands were inspiring Bnei Yisrael. Whenever his hands were up, they would look heavenward and they would subdue themselves to God. Hayumit Gabrin. Of course, that's very problematic because in the meantime, while they're looking up, you know, what's the enemy doing? Okay. Vimlav Hayunoflim. We have a parallel story, a parallel passage. The story in Parshat Chukat, after the snakes attack Bnei Yisrael when they're complaining about the man. People came to Moshe as the Chatanu. So Moshe came to Hashem and said, so that's when Moshe made that copper snake, and the people would look at it, they'd be healed. Of course, it becomes very problematic considering that one of Chizkiyahu's good things that he did was to destroy this thing because they used to call it Nechushtan, right, which later became an important elevator. Anyhow, Vimlav Hayu Nimokim. So the idea is that not that the snake would actually heal, but when people look at the snake, they would be inspired to think about Hashem and connect to Hashem, and that would heal them, and if not, they would suffer. All right, but the point of these drashot is very significant, is that Kavanah really drives the issue, and it's a comment on the last mishnah that says, here you have two guys walking in back of a shul, both hear the shofar, one's yotzei, one's not, because one had Kavanah and one didn't. What kind of Kavanah, of course, is the question. Kavanah latzeit or Kavanah lishmoa? Chereish shoteh katan ein motzi yotarab miyadei chovatan. As a local wag once called them, that's a good term, the triumvirate of halachic incompetence. It's a great line. You've heard it? The triumvirate of halachic incompetence. Chere shayte v'kata. Shilush HaKadosh. Right? The Acheresh is a deaf mute. A shoteh is somebody who is mentally incompetent, non-compos mentis. And a katan is a minor. Cannot be motzi, meaning if one of them blows the shofar, then people who hear it are not yotzei. Zehakal, here's the rule. There's an ironclad rule in halacha. Kol sheino mechuyav v'davar, eino motzi et rabim yedei chovatan. Somebody who's personally not chayav cannot fulfill the mitzvah on behalf of other people. This, by the way, is the biggest problem that the conservative movement dealt with when they were dealing with the issue of giving ordination to women. Because in many, many of their synagogues, the rabbi also is everything else. Right, because nobody else knows how to do anything, so they have to be the Baal Kriya and the Baal Tfila and or she does. And the problem is, since women are not chayiv in many of these things, how can they be the public servant, right? And so they came up with all sorts of interesting gymnastics to try to make it work. And bottom line, it wasn't really significant because they weren't really concerned with that. But that was one of the official issues to deal with. Tanu Rabbanan, those who there who were opposed, this was their opposition. This was a big part of their opposition. Right, those who are opposed including women in the ordination. This is a big part of their opposition because they said, after all, the rabbis are going to go out to shul somewhere and they're going to be asked to regularly be shleach tzibur, etc. The woman's not chayav in kriyatshma and brechot kriyatshma. They're dropping the issue of kol isha, dropping the issue of mechitza, dropping all those issues. What? So one of the things that they came up with was a very interesting bit of gymnastics, which is based on a particular passage in the Rav Yah, but the halacha is that tefillat arvit is reshut, right? And yet, Am Yisrael accepted upon themselves the chovah, and we regard it so much as a chovah that not only I can not even know to you, but if I miss Arvit one night, I say Shacharit, I say a second one the next morning, right? So they kind of play gymnastics. I'm not going to defend the position at all. There's nothing to defend. It's not a position. But I'm just saying this is the line that kind of spurred that. All right. Tana Rabbanan.
What with Midah?
What?
When she's with Midah, she cannot perform anything.
Why not?
Why can't
There's only one thing she can't perform, which is Midah. Nothing has to do with Shul. Why not? Yeah. It's an ancient thing. No. It shows in Bala Tosfot also. Women should never go to shul because they might be in Nidah and they can't be in the same room. Sefer Torah, it's also superstition. What? Shows up at Tosfot also. Right. There's no makor for it. No good makor for it. And it's very problematic. Because it keeps people from going to shul. It's very problematic. Yeah. Of course. There's people who do all sorts of things. Right? Tanu Rabbanan. Hakol chayavim b'tkiyat shofar. People who still, every time that you say that somebody looks good, they go poo 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 also. Right? Right? And my Gemara is dry. Hakoch Chayavim B'Tkiyat Shofar. Right? We have a Braita. There's a whole very famous series of Braita like this at the beginning of Masechet Arachin, which goes through also, it's because of Hakol Arachin, Hakol Arachin. So it lists all sorts of mitzvot, and there's interesting alternative reads in those braytot. So this is Hakochem Mitzkiat Shofar. Kohanim Levi'im Yisraelim, that's kind of easy. Gerim, okay. Avadim Meshucharim, no reason why not. Tumtum Vandrigonus. Now, Tumtum is somebody who has no genitalia that are obvious. And an androgynous is a hermaphrodite. Okay, these are both severe conditions. And the last one on the list is a half Eved, half Ben Chorin, meaning he's an half Eved Kanani, half Ben Chorin, which means that he's got a schizophrenic personality, identity. All right, we've dealt with him several times. Now, Tumtum, Eino Motzi Lot Mino Velo Sheino Mino. A Tumtum cannot be Motzi anybody else, because a Tumtum is considered to be unclear if it's male or female. Remember, a female is not Chayevet in Mitzvah Shofar. Even though our women are all very careful to hear the shofar, which is a beautiful thing, cannot chayavot, and therefore the tumtum, who may be a woman, cannot be motzi even another tumtum, because that another tumtum may be a man. Every tumtum is a question mark. Androgynos, which is exactly what it sounds like, androgynos is two Greek words, right? Androgynos. Motzi et mino, valo et she'ino mino. An androgynos can be motzi another androgynos, because they identify, in this opinion, an androgynos is a definable me. All right, so he can motzi another androgynous, but he can't motzi anybody else because of the female side that he has. Mishu chetio v'chetio ben chorin, eino motzi lo et mino v'lo et sheino mino. A half of it, half of the chorin can't be motzi anybody. Now, we're going to pick that up. Amar mar, let's go back to the Braita. Hakol chayavim b'tkiyat shofar. Kohanim, Levi'im, Yisraelim, Pshita, that's a no-brainer. Obviously the chayiv. Ihani lo mechayiv, iman mechayiv. Who's going to be chayiv? Irish Catholics, who's going to be chayiv? It's not Kohanim Levim Yisraelim. The answer is Kohanim Yitzri Cholei. It's not so clear that Kohanim will be chayiv in Tkiyat Shofar. Why? The Torah says it's a day of Trua. And the idea is this is the one day of the year of Trua. Man delayte ela b'tkiyat achad yomo d'machayiv. Only people who have Tkiya once a year are chayiv. Hani Kohanim hoyo v'itanu b'tkiyat achol ha'shanat. Kohanim do Tkiya all year. By the way, that would include Levim also, although Kohanim are the ones above, but you might even argue that the Levim, but nonetheless, we're happy with this. Well, I might think that Yom Teruah applies those of you who never have the mitzvah of Tkiyah, once a year you have Tkiyah. Kamash Malan. So what kind of question is that? Tell me. That's Chatzotzot, this is Shofar. L.A. Tzarek, we have a different reason. Talk about the Chameinu, who are we on Shavah, Yovel, Rosh Hashanah, Tkiyah, and Brachot. Remember, we said in Mas Perek that Yovel and Rosh Hashanah are equal. We said, well, except for one line in the Melissa. But otherwise, you will give of Yovel and Melissa or Rosh Hashanah every year. The same dinim for Tkiyah and Brachot. Man to eat the mitzvah of Yovel, eat the mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah. So I might think that only somebody who is in the world of Yovel and affected by Yovel has the mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah, of Tkiyah. V'hani Kohanim, hoyel v'yitanu mitzvah Yovel. Kohanim and Levim are not affected by Yovel. Why? Titnan, Kohanim and Levim mochlim me'olam v'golim me'olam. They can always sell and redeem their property. They don't have to wait for Yovel for it to return. So if Kohen has some land that he has to sell, he can buy it back, force the buyer to sell it back to him at any point during the 50 years. So for him, Yovel doesn't play at all. So therefore, a mitzvah Rosh Hashanah lo v'chayv. I might think that they're not chayiv in the mitzvah Rosh Hashanah either. Rosh Hashanah and Yovel are worked together. So kamash malan, therefore it has to say kohanim. Now, misha chetzi ev chetzi ben kohen, eno motzi et neo v'lo tshei yom yom. A half ev and half ben kohen can't be motzi another half Eved Ben Kohen or anybody else. Remember, an Eved is not Chayev. Right? Eved Kanani is not Chayev. So that half of it's an Eved can't, right? So that's the problem. Am Rav Huna ulatzmo motzi. Rav Huna said, but he can be motzi himself. He can blow a shofar and be yotzi himself. Am Rav Nachman Rav Huna, maisha lachem delo. Wait a second. He can't be motzi others. Why? So lo ati tzad avdut and mati tzad cheirut. His half avdut cannot help be mostly the other guys half tzad cheirut. Same thing for himself. His half avdut can't be mostly his half cheirut. So in other words, he cannot even be mostly for himself. He can't even be mostly himself because when he's blowing, half of the person blowing is not chayiv. And the half of him that is chayiv can't be yotze hearing it from somebody who's half a chayiv. So he has to hear it from somebody who's a regular bar chiyuva. Avdut ben half ben chorin, remember, we immediately fix and force the other guy to free him. So he becomes a full ben chorin so he can marry and have children, etc. Tani Abba Barid Rabbi Zera, very big, big statement. Kol abrachot kulan. Afa bishi atza motzi. For every brachot, even every bracha, even though you have said it and been yotze, you can say it again and be motzi others. Chutzi brachat alachem brachat ayayim, except for brachat anani. In other words, I have an apple, and I said bar priyais and ate the apple, and then 10 minutes later, somebody walked up and said, "Oh, what's that blessing I say over the apple?" I can't say it for him. I can be motzi him. I have to teach him, but I can't be motzi him. Why? So Rashi says, because all the time you believe it, there's no, you're not obligated to eat an apple, but you are obligated to put on tefillin. You are obligated to shake a lulav, which means I shook lulav. And then somebody else comes along and wants to shake lulav. I can make the bracha, and he says, amen, and that's fine. Because I'm being motzi him, right? On the other hand, there's nothing that says he has to eat an apple. So same thing for shofar. By the way, this happens every Rosh Hashanah. I blow shofar in the morning, and in the afternoon, I always either have to go to somebody's house who just had a kid, or we go to the hospital, whatever it may be, I say the bracha again. I was already yotze. Sure, I usually end up saying, from Megillah, by the way, I usually end up saying the bracha 5-6 times on Purim. Usually twice at night and 3-4 times in the morning. I do the regular laning, and then I have to come home and lane for my wife. And then in the morning, I do the regular laning, and then there's probably three other times during the day, you know, we have big woman's laning at somebody's house, and then you have to lane for my wife separately. I make the bracha each time. There's a beautiful run that I quoted for you here. For your proper credit, I learned it from Rav Druckmann many, many years ago. And the rhyme says, you can take a look on your own, that after all, since Kol Yisrael are Eden Zavazeh, if you didn't fulfill the mitzvah, it's like I haven't fulfilled the mitzvah. It's a gorgeous run. It is the run that drives all of Kiruv. I have not fulfilled the mitzvah yet. Therefore, when somebody comes to my house Friday night, not religious at all, has no idea how to make Kiddush. They walk in, we've already made a Kiddush, they're late, we've already made Kiddush, and make Kiddush again. Why? Because there's something missing in my Kiddush. Because another Jew in the world hasn't made Kiddush, and I can make Kiddush again. Now, when it comes to Berchot HaNenin, I can say Shahakol on the water out loud, you can all say Amen. But if I already said Shahakol on water, and then you guys want, you got to say your own. Boy Rava. Birchat alechem shomat or birchat ayin shal kiddush hayom. What if we mix the two? The birchat anehanin that are part of a mitzvah, like brachat agafen and kiddush, or hamotzi lechem on matzah. Can I be motzi you? Kevin the chova hu mapik odil a bracha lav chova hi. After all, since there's a chiyuv to make kiddush or a chiyuv to eat matzah, maybe I can be motzi you. Or on the other hand, you can argue that the birchat anehanin component is not a chiyuv. When we were in Rav Papi's house, he would make kiddush for us. When a sharecropper who was an ignorant Jew would come, he'd come from the field later, he'd make kiddush again for him, meaning by Pragafen also. You can't give people bread and pass it out and say hamotzi unless you are eating with them. right? Of a paresu levanal beveto. In other words, you can't make a motzi unless you're eating with them. But for your kids, you can. Kedei lachanchan mitzvot, in order to educate them. Uvahal megillah fishi atzam motzi. But let's say that I already said halal and megillah. I can do it again on behalf of somebody else because those are chiyuvim. When it comes to Berachat Hananin, as we see a brayta that exactly lays it out the way Ava, Rav Zera, said it, because he does it by example instead of by rule, which is when it comes to eating a meal, I can only say the bracha if I'm chayiv or I'm trying to educate my kids. When it comes to Hal Megillah or other things like that, I can say the bracha in any case. So we finished the parak, and Yom Hashem, tomorrow we're going to begin the fourth parak of Rosh Hashanah. Okay, one.